Thanks, Jamie. Good afternoon, everyone. The issue of herbicide resistance in weeds is certainly not a new one for many of us in this room. It's a challenge that we work with what seems all too regularly on an extension standpoint now. Most have seen this figure before. This is from Ian Heap's group, the International Survey of Herbicide Resistant Weeds. On the y-axis, we have the number of unique cases of weeds in which resistance has been documented, and the x-axis, we have time. We've seen a staggering increase in resistance cases over the past few decades. And by and large, the data that are on the figure on the screen here are from agronomic cropping systems. But turf is not immune to the resistance problem in any way, shape, or form. And when we talk about resistance in turf grass systems, the driver weed is really annual bluegrass. We have annual bluegrass cases of resistance confirmed to many different modes of action, ALS inhibitors, the mitotic inhibitors, EPSP synthase inhibition, the mechanism of action used by glyphosate, as well as the photosystem II inhibiting herbicides. We're going to hear a presentation after I leave the podium this afternoon on a new case of annual bluegrass resistance in Georgia to pronamide. And what's concerning is all of those have really been single mode of action cases, but now we're learning about specific phenotypes of annual bluegrass that have multiple resistance. We've worked extensively with one in the Memphis area here with resistance to both ALS and PS2 inhibiting herbicides. Recently, researchers at Georgia and Auburn University have published work on non-target site resistance in annual bluegrass to photosystem II inhibiting herbicides. So all in all, the problem is certainly not getting any better, and you can argue that it's worsening. And this leaves superintendents in a very difficult position. You think about making a herbicide application, you have a herbicide failure, as you see here. This was a dormant application of glyphosate to a Bermuda grass fairway for annual bluegrass control. The superintendent is really left in a difficult position when it comes to trying to A, decipher what went wrong, and B, think about how do I move forward and correct the issue. When we think about diseases and pathology, we do have options for rapid diagnostics. You have an outbreak of a particular disease on, say, putting greens. You can take a sample, send it to a diagnostic laboratory, and probably within 24 to 48 hours, get an answer on what that disease might be and some options for control moving forward. But with resistance in weeds, it's a much slower process. You know, typically what will happen, plants will be harvested, seed will be collected off of those plants. You'll then replant that seed. You can expose the plants that have then germinated from that to rate titrations of herbicide compared to a susceptible standard to generate a resistance factor. You can go through a process of looking for target site mutations through genetic analysis. All in all, this takes time, leaving the superintendent in a waiting period about how to move forward to remedy the issue. So our objective here was to try to see if we could use some rapid diagnostic assays that have been in place in crops to detect annual bluegrass resistance in turf grass systems. To do this, we conducted growth chamber and greenhouse research in 2016. We used modified methods of Cowden et al. 2011 that were developed for ACCA's resistance in Lolium. Our work, we focused on glyphosate and trifloxysulfuron as the two herbicides that we wanted to really center upon for this rapid diagnostic screen. And then all of the phenotypes that we used in these experiments were confirmed to have target site mutations for resistance to each mode of action. Here's a list of the phenotypes that were included in the studies. So we have two susceptible phenotypes, one from University Park, Pennsylvania, and we like this susceptible phenotype because it has really no history of exposure to any of the herbicides that we're testing. We also have a local susceptible that we use in our experiments here. And then three resistance, so this is that aforementioned ALS and PS2 resistant biotype that we had published a paper on. a glyphosate-resistant biotype from Bean Station, Tennessee, and then another ALS-resistant population from Memphis. Here's an image of the setup used in this diagnostic assay. We do this in plant tissue culture boxes. You can see the dimensions here, about 10 centimeters high, 7.6 centimeters across in squares. And these are nice because they're autoclavable. So we can take an empty plant tissue culture box, autoclave it at 121C for 15 minutes. Then we mix agar media at 5.5 grams per liter of distilled water and amend that with Murashige Skoog basal medium and vitamins at a rate of 4.43 grams per liter. The pH is then adjusted upwards to 6.5 using sodium hydroxide. And then that agar media is autoclaved in an Erlenmeyer flask at 121C for 20 minutes. We add to this rifampicin to the sterilized agar. It's a rate of 7 mL per liter using a sterilization filter, tip and syringe, as well as 2 ppm azoxystrobin. And then last but not least, we add the herbicides, glyphosate, and you can see the rate structure that we're looking at here. So 0, 6, 12, 25, 50, 100, 200, and 400 micromolar, and then trifloxysulfuron at 0, 6.25, 12.5, 25, 50, 75, 100, and 150 micromolar. After that's complete, we compare the responses in agar to what we see with a whole plant application of these herbicides. To do this, we'll grow plants maintained in a growth chamber, 16C, 16-hour photo period. We'll wash them free of growing media and trim them to a canopy height of less than 7 centimeters and a root length of 5 centimeters, and they're inserted into the solidified agar gel using a scalpel and forceps. So here's some images to walk you through the process of how the plants get into the agar in the plant tissue culture box. So we have an annual bluegrass plant here. It's been washed free of soil. This will be broken down in an individual tiller, again, washed free of soil. And then an autoclave scalpel and forceps inserts that annual bluegrass plant into that agar medium that's been amended with a specific rate of herbicide. In most of our experience, we'll include at least one resistant standard. In some cases, if we have two, this is an ALS picture, we have two ALS resistant standards. We'll include two ALS resistant standards and then a susceptible within each plant tissue culture box. And what we rate is essentially a binomial response at 7 to 10 days, depending on the herbicide. So essentially what we do is we look and say we have either no response or a response due to that herbicide treatment. It's really a yes-no binomial system. And we compare that, as I mentioned earlier, to what we see when we spray these annual bluegrass plants in a traditional whole plant setup. To do that, we use 98-cell trays. So we'll put an individual annual bluegrass plant in all of these 98 cells filled with silt loam and then make an application over the top of glyphosate at 1,120 grams per hectare or trifloxysulfuron at 28 grams per hectare. With each, we include a surfactant at 0.25% volume per volume, and we do this in a spray chamber. And the same binomial data collection. So for each one of those 98 cells, it's either a yes, no, we have a response due to the herbicide, or we do not. So we did this in separate experiments. All of the work with glyphosate was done as one experiment, repeated in time in 2016. All the work with trifloxysulfuron was also done as an experiment, repeated in time in 2016. Each experiment in agar is replicated 50 times. So every agar concentration, we have 50 replicates of that across the entire rate range of herbicide that we're working with. And then, as I mentioned earlier, every whole plant application is replicated 98 times. So we have 98 annual bluegrass plants treated with the herbicide, and we look at a yes-no response on all of those for every phenotype tested. Statistically, we analyzed the data using Fisher's exact test to compare responses in agar to each whole plant treatment. We did this in R version 3.3.1 using the Fisher's dot test function. And again, the objective of all of this is to find a concentration of herbicide and auger where the responses, the yes-no data, are not significantly different from what we see when we spray the herbicides over the top of these plants in a whole plant system. So let's look at some results. First run with glyphosate, what we see here, here's our glyphosate rate, 1,120 grams per hectare. Our glyphosate concentrations in auger from left to right across the screen. And what we see in the first run, we have no significant difference at the 50 micromolar rate and the 100 micromolar rate in auger compared to what we saw when we spray the plants in a whole plant system. Run two, things are consistent. That 100 micromolar rate, that is where we have no difference between the responses in auger to what we see in the whole plant application. Here's an image of what that looks like. So this is glyphosate at that 100 rate. Again, our susceptible phenotype here, S1, our resistant phenotype here, R5. Again, target site resistance for glyphosate. This is 10 days after application, a very clear difference between our susceptible and our resistant standard. We look at trifloxysulfuron here, 28 grams per hectare. We can see pretty much all of our rates. We don't have a difference. The 6.25 is a little bit too low, so our responses there don't really line up to what we have with our whole plant application, but this 12.5 does quite nicely. Run two, a similar response, again, where this 12.5 lines up well in terms of giving us a similar response in auger to what we're seeing in a whole plant setup. And here's just an image, again, of what that looked like. So here's trifloxy at that 12.5 rate, susceptible on the left, resistant on the right, a very clear response 7 days after treatment in terms of looking at the response of this particular annual bluegrass phenotype to the herbicide. So our conclusions from this is that this rapid diagnostic assay in auger culture can detect target site resistance in annual bluegrass to either EPSPS or ALS inhibiting herbicides within 7 to 10 days. And this is really important because we think it provides the practitioner a tool to get a quick answer as to a potential reason for why a herbicide may have failed in the field. I also think there's a potential use here for susceptibility testing, where you could send a sample of annual bluegrass in before you would make a post-emergence herbicide application and get a read on whether or not it was going to be susceptible to either of those two herbicides should you apply them over, say, 30 acres of fairways. In terms of future research, this certainly needs to be expanded, and we're working on that now. Our hope is to have Photosystem II inhibitors complete by the end of 2016. And there's a need to expand it beyond that. We heard about PPO resistance this morning from Dr. McElroy's group with goosegrass. I certainly think that this system could be amended for PPO testing, ACCA's resistance, HPPD resistance, and maybe even auxin herbicides with some tailoring. And there's a need to do that as cases of resistance to those modes of action, albeit now mainly in cropping systems, become more frequent because we certainly won't be immune to that in turf. I also think there's a need to expand beyond POA as a target species. We started there because that's where the bulk of our resistant plant material in our collections has originated from, is annual bluegrass, so it was easy to have those resistant standards to work with, but expanding this to other weeds is certainly relevant. Need to acknowledge several folks who have been involved in the research process here, Dr. Bob Trezano and John Zobel from UT, Roberto Vigiani, who was a PhD student from Italy that spent this summer working in our lab on these projects, Trevor Hill and Mitchell Riffey, as well as Sarah Bogus, Dan Farnsworth, Grant Cross, Corey Wright, Dallas Taylor. The manpower required in order to have 8 herbicide concentrations replicated 50 times with 3 annual bluegrass tillers with all the soil removed, placed with sterilized forceps into that auger gel. It's a lot of manpower to get these experiments to go. So thanks to them for their work, as well as the USGA for their financial support. And I'll take any questions before Jamie tackles me off the stage.
We have time for one or two questions.
Go ahead, Dave.
Right
now, the WE Diagnostic Center is charging $450 for one of these screens. And when you think about the price point of a potential application over 30 acres or more, we feel it's a good investment.
What do you recommend for
sample? Right now, we're leaving that to the superintendent. So we really can't make a conclusion of yes or no, the POA across your entire golf course is or is not resistant. We can say the plant you sent us lines up next to a resistant standard, next to a susceptible standard. Go ahead, Scott.
So use the technical grade material or use product material in the media?
The question is, have we used technical grade material or formulated material? We use formulated material similar to what the Counted et al. Group had done in their work with weeds and cropping systems. And I think there's some limits, too. You know, you think about trying to expand the state to, say, prodiamine, well, then that's certainly going to stain that agar yellow and could potentially cloud things in terms of getting a clear response. And that's another reason why, for the ALS testing, we had to lend ourselves towards trifloxysulfuron rather than 4-amsulfuron, because we saw that the 4-amsulfuron changed kind of the aesthetic of the agar gel, which made the rating a little bit harder to be consistent on. All righty, thank you.